You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm. Mick Norton, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. It's day two of Royal Ascot. Plenty to look forward to there, including the feature race, which is the Prince of Wales Stakes. That's the Group 1. We've also got plenty of other top-class racing there. There's Hamilton and Uttoxeter alongside that on Wednesday afternoon. And Chelmsford, Ripon and Wexford will provide the action in the evening. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined to look ahead to the action by Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
There certainly is some good quality racing you talked to look forward to on Wednesday, right, Mark?
Yeah, we're going to look ahead to that action. No, we're not really. We're going to look ahead to day two of Royal Ascot. What do you make of it, Gary? You're a fan of Royal Ascot?
Yeah, I've only been there once. I went on the Saturday a couple of years ago. I was working. I'd go again. I think you're very much dependent on the weather, and you don't want to be... It was perfect when I was there because it wasn't too warm. You wouldn't want it to be too warm there wearing all the regalia you have to top hat and all that nonsense.
All that nonsense. It's great. You get your top hat and your tails on.
I like a suit and a waistcoat. I do have most of my suits. I've got waistcoats, but the top hat and the full length, I don't like all that. But anyway. So there we go.
What a ringing endorsement for Royal Ascot that was. I love it, mate. I think it's great. I think people...
I can't imagine you wearing all that stuff. If you wear that stuff, you'd be dripping with sweat if it was that warm, mate, honestly.
Yeah, but imagine how good I'd look.
Well, yeah, I suppose. It's nice. It's a very sort of traditional thing, isn't it? And the sort of the bandstand after racing and whatever and all that. When I went on the Saturday a couple of years ago, the big sing-along after. And then I went to Hereford the day after. So
one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the racing's fantastic as well. Is there any races you really look forward to at Royal Ascot?
The Ascot Gold Cup,
yeah,
for sure. That holds some decent memories. And the sprints as well. And quite a lot of the handicaps. I remember we've got the in-house tipping competition here at William Hill that we have we've had it for a few years, actually. But back in 2007, on the Friday, I had Championship Point, Eager to Bow, Indian Ink and Biscotto all on the same day. 8-1, 8-1, 25-1, 33-1.
Wow.
Never happen again.
I'm guessing you won the competition then.
Did. Won 2 days that year as well. So yeah. I got quite a lot of Mike, the gaffer. I've still got a bottle of champagne that he gave. I went on holiday on the Saturday. It's the last holiday I've ever been on, actually. We're in Magaluf on the Saturday. We'd just landed. And there I was ringing on the bus. I was ringing my selections in on the Saturday. I had a couple of winners that day. Mays won the Chesham for Brian Smart, and I can't remember what else won. But it was definitely 2007. But yeah, Mike gave me this bottle of champagne when I got back as a reward as well. And you know, you got those iPhones where you can... I haven't got it, but there's an app you can use where you can scan things to see how expensive they are. It was quite expensive, so it's yet to be... I've not had anything else to celebrate since, unfortunately, so it's not been open. It remains unopened.
All right.
So there we go.
All right, well, maybe you'll be able to celebrate this week. We're going to look ahead to day two. Gary's looked at four races, and we'll get his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to start in the 305, which is the Queen Mary Stakes, a Fillies Group 2 over 5 furlongs. It's for 2-year-old Fillies as well. And the market headed by Bashara, who's 4-1, 11-2 for Eastern Angel. Acapulco is 6-1, Bruised Orange 8, Rara is 9, 11s for Delizia and Curland, and then 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Interesting races, Gary. Several of these still unbeaten. You've got the American Raiders from Wesley Ward as well, who we know are full of speed from the past. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, well, this is a race that's changed a little bit over the last couple of years. It used to be that you could, you had to be unbeaten coming into this race. But Anthem Alexander had been beaten prior to running in this race and last year. But up until 2006, unbeaten fillies had won 6 on the spin. So we use the International Stakes usually as a pretty decent trial, and also the Marygate Stakes at York. Now, that was a race that was won this year by Delizia, who obviously is trained by Mark Johnson, beat Cassia in that race. Cassia subsequently won again since. So Delizia has to go on any sort of shortlist that we're looking at. Irish trained horses have a pretty good record in this race. There's only, I think, one Irish representative, and that's Crimea River, who finished fourth on her racecourse debut behind round two at the Curragh. Obviously, that's pretty decent form. And other trainers that have got a pretty good record in this race, Wesley Ward, who won it back in 2009 with Jealous again, and subsequently has had three runners finish second and fourth and one out of the frame. Han and team have obviously also got a pretty decent record in this race. They've won it five times. They rely on Ring of Truth, who was a winner at Haydock on its most recent outing. And Mitch Shannon's also got a pretty decent record in the race. Won it in 1998 with Aal, 2001 Queen's Logic, in 2005 as well with Flashy Wings. The last latter named pair both went on to be the champion. Two-year-old trained filly, as we were saying, he has Cassia in this race as well. Others to consider: Ra Ra, who won at Kempton and Chester, so he's unbeaten 2 from 2 thus far. Curland, who was a winner at Newmarket on her racecourse debut. We have to mention the Hillary Needler winner as well, Eastern Angel, who's now been bought by Qatar Racing. Prior to that, she'd won at Musselburgh. And the two Wesley Ward trained runners, interesting as well. Bruised Orange, who was a winner at Keeneland over 4 furlongs on her racecourse debut. She wears blinkers for the first time. And Acapulco, Brian Moore's been booked to ride her. She's drawn in stall 20. She was third over 4 furlongs at Churchill Downs. But then we come to the one that I really like, Beshara, trained by Willie Haggis. Pat Cosgrave takes the ride. Got previous course form here, won here on a racecourse debut. That form's pretty strong. And then she subsequently went and won at Windsor on her most recent outing. We'll learn a little bit. Obviously, we're recording this before racing on Tuesday. We'll learn a little bit more tomorrow about the what effect the draw might possibly have. But this isn't the biggest field, only 23, so it's a big field, but they have bigger fields throughout the week. Me, personally, I would like to be drawn low. Certainly, I think I'd want to be up against the stand side running Grail. Bashara is there. Willie Haggis has his string in very good form. It's a little bit of a lottery because a lot of these horses will be improving rapidly from one to the next, and a lot may well depend on where the speed is. But I think Bashara ticks plenty of boxes, so she is the selection.
Bashara for Gary then in the 3 or 5, the Queen Mary Stakes. We move on to the 3:40 next, which is the Duke of Cambridge Stakes. It was the Windsor Forest Stakes. It's a fillies group 2 over a mile. It's for 4-year-olds and older. Sir Michael Stout's got a pretty good record in the race, and he won it last year with Integral, who heads the market for this year's renewal. She's 11-10 at the top of the betting. Euro Charlene is 9-2, 7-1 for Cladicera. Rizina is 7-1, 9-1 for Bragging, and 14s or bigger for the others. Is Integral the one to beat?
Very much so. This is another race that's got pretty strong trends to it. The favourite or the second favourite usually have a pretty good record in this race. You just look down the list, there's not been too many sort of shock winners of this race down the years. As you pointed out, Sir Michael Stout's got a good record. He won the first two renewals of this back in 2004 with favourable terms, in 2005 with Pyrrhus. Obviously, when it was Strawberry Daiquiri in 2010. And Integral, the favourite, won it last year. The Sheevely Parks that obviously have a fantastic record in this race as well. You just go down further down, you see the likes of Spacious, obviously Pyrrhus as well. We've mentioned Sir Michael Stout has a good record. Previous course and distance, or course form at least, is a huge positive as well. And that obviously points in favourably for the likes of Euro Charlene, Rizina. Obviously, they ran in the Coronation Stakes last year. Rizina winning, and Euro Charlene finishing in third. And of course, Integral won this corresponding race last year. So that all bodes well for her chances as well. We put the bones down a little bit further and go through the form. Euro Charlene hasn't been seen since finishing fourth at Maidan back in March in the Dubai. It used to be called the Dubai Duty 3. It's now the Dubai Turf. Was beaten by Sola, beaten respectably enough distance. Prior to that, she'd obviously won the Beverly D Stakes, and she'd won a listed contest here when Making All back at the King George meeting before that. That followed up from her third in the Coronation Stakes. So obviously she has to be very much respected. I think we can really concentrate on perhaps just the front three in the market here. I think Bragging and Cladasira both have a little bit to find Strictly in this sort of grade, if I'm being honest. Rosina, she won the Coronation Street, beating, obviously, Euro Charlene last year. Then she was second in the Falmouth. Obviously, she ran in the Prix Le Marois as well. And then ended up the season finishing second in the Matron Stakes behind Fiergeline. I was a bit disappointed with her that day, actually, on Irish Champions Day. She ran at Newmarket. I think Clive Britton said she didn't really like the track, so I was a bit surprised. Obviously, he had to get her run into her somewhere. She was seventh and well beaten in the Derby Stakes, but she's coming back here. We know that she obviously likes it here. Obviously, as I was saying, she won here at this meeting last year. And obviously, she also... she also won the Queen Mary of the year before. So she's 2 from 2 here at the track. She, you know, she likes it here. She likes the ground as well. She has to go on the shortlist, but I really do think, I know that she's short, but Integra's going to be pretty difficult to beat here. I know she's got to give a little bit of weight away. Obviously, she's got that Group 1 penalty to carry. Obviously, she won the Sun Chariot Stakes last year and then finished 8th after that in the QE2, but she's a really top class filly. This she's a mare now. Obviously she won the Falmouth, beating Rosina after she'd won this corresponding race last year, and she opened up her campaign with a very close fourth in the Locking Stakes. She wasn't beaten far on that occasion, only a length and a quarter behind Knight of Thunder. Obviously, we'll have a bit more of an inkling into the strength of that form when Knight of Thunder runs on Tuesday afternoon, and as to obviously there were a couple of other runners that ran in there. It's obviously two or more who was second, so we'll have a bit of an indication as to that, the strength of that sort of form after racing on Tuesday. As I say, obviously we're recording this ahead of the racing, but I really do think that she's going to be pretty difficult to beat if she's anything like in that same sort of form. And again, we know that she likes it here. Quick ground will not be an issue to her. So she's a pretty solid favourite. Whether I'd back her at a current price is a different matter. But as we're only just tipping, I think she's going to be pretty difficult to beat. And I'm struggling really to find any sort of angles away from her. Cladasira likes quick ground, but was pretty disappointing on her final start, albeit in decent company in Dubai. Bragging still has a little bit to prove, I think, particularly in this sort of grade. So Integral, short, very much the one to beat, though.
The 420 at Ascot next. This is the Prince of Wales Stakes. It's a Group 1 contest. It's part of the British Champion Series. It's over a mile and a quarter, and it's the feature race on the second day. And the market headed by Free Eagle, who's been supported as well, 11-4 into 5-2 on the price I'm looking at now. Ecto is 11-2, 6-1 for the Grey Gatsby. Criterion Sevens, 15-2 for Cannock Chase, 8s for Western Hymn. And 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. We do have a non-runner here as well. California Chrome, the American Raider, will not run. But seems to be a lot of folks around Free Eagle, Gary. Looking forward to seeing him back in action.
Yeah, very much so. Obviously been a little bit of a talking horse, really, if you like. He didn't make it to the Derby when we thought that he might end up there after his 2-year-old career, but he had one or two issues. Obviously, he was second behind Australia at Leopardstown as a 2-year-old. He reappeared very impressively on Irish Champion Stakes weekend last year, winning a Group 3 contest quite convincingly. And then he was third here in the Kipco Champion Stakes behind Noble Mission on ground which he probably didn't really enjoy. Prior to that, he'd been kept on pretty quickish ground, hadn't he? It was good to form him when he won at, good to firm in places when he won at Leopardstown, and he'd been kept on quickish ground ahead of that. Again, he's very much the one to beat. He wouldn't be the first horse to win this race on his seasonal debut either. Obviously, Racty did that back in 2004, so we know it can be done, and I don't think we really need to worry about that anyway with him being trained by Dermot Weld. Obviously, he'll want to make sure he walked the course, make sure everything's fine for this horse. But the fact that he's just bringing him over here is pretty much a tip in itself, really, for me. It's unfortunate that we have lost California Chrome in this race. There's some decent horses in this race. There's a lot of sort of unknown quantities, if you like. We've got, obviously, Criterion coming over from... he's a three-time Group 1 winner in Australia, this horse, but it's difficult to completely get a handle on his sort of form. Ecto is obviously a very good horse. The French rider trained by Elie Lelouch obviously was beaten a long way in the Arc, but that was a pretty rough race, and obviously didn't get the clearest of runs through. Prior to that, he'd won the Prix Niel. Obviously, he's very much on the improve. He's making his seasonal debut as well. Be interesting to see what Ken makes of him. Can It Chase won at this meeting last year. He won the Tercentena. He staked very, very impressively. We didn't see him after that. He was third in the Gordon Richard Stakes when seen on a seasonal return, and then went to Chester, and the ground rather went against him in the Huxley Stakes. He's capable of stepping up to Group 1 company, I've no doubt of that, and he gets his ground again for the first time. But Sir Michael Stout's had plenty of short-priced runners beaten in this race. He hasn't won it since 1991 when Stagecraft took it. And then we have, if we go further down, Galileo Chop, who's another interesting French raider. This horse wearing a tongue tie for the first time, finished second in the Prix Discipline behind Solo on his most recent outing. But he'd been winning Group 2 races as a three-year-old. He'd been brought along quite gradually. He takes a step up in grade. Again, might be capable of stepping up on that. Spielberg has decent form over in Japan. Again, it's difficult to get a strong handle on that, really, and what he might turn out to be. Very much an unknown quantity. The Great Gatsby's got cheap pieces on for the first time. Very much an underestimated horse. I know Kevin Ryan's made statements sort of similar, and I think I'd agree with that. Obviously, he won the French Derby last year. Was second in the Judmont after that, and won the Irish Champion Stakes as well. He went over to Maidan, finished second, beaten 4¼ lengths by Solo in the Dubai Duty Free, or the Dubai Turf that it's now known, apologies. He has to be very much respected, but he was fourth. I think the ground was probably the slight issue for him when it went quite soft at, it was tacky at the Curra, and he was a beaten favourite in the Tattersalls Gold Cup, which has usually been a very good trial race for this. Obviously, Alcazim beat him. There's no Alcazim in this race. So the Great Gatsby has to be respected. I think he's very much the underrated horse in the race. And the only other one I think that's really worthy of mention, right down at the bottom, is Western Him. John Gosden's runner, Frankie Dettori, takes the ride. Obviously, he's won his last two. He won the Group 3 Gordon Stakes, that race that Can It Chase ran in. Obviously, he handled conditions perhaps a little bit better than some of the others. He's got previous course form here. He was fourth in the Champion Stakes over this course and distance last year. And he won the Brigadier Gerard Stakes at Sandown in his most recent outing on quickish ground, so proving that sort of all sort of grounds come alike to him. It's not a race that I could be too confident about having a bet in, if I'm perfectly honest, but perhaps rather unoriginally, I'm going to stick with Three Eagle, who makes his seasonal debut.
Three Eagle for Gary then in the 4:20, and we move on to the 5 o'clock. Finally, this is the Royal Hunt Cup, a Heritage Handicap Class 2 event over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older, just the 30 of them to sort out here, Gary. The market headed by co-favourites of 3, Speculative Bid, GM Hopkins and AR are 10-1 co-favourites of 3. It's 12-1 for Spark Plug, Temptress 14s with Your Fired, 20-1 for Chill the Kite, Field of Dream, Bronze Angel, Gabriel, Lincoln, Big Baz, and Four Bastion, and then 25-1 our bigger prices for the others. Nice, easy puzzle to solve to finish with.
Oh, yes. Where do we begin? Right. Let's go through some of the stats then, sort of, for this race. Traditionally, sort of, if you're going back looking through the last couple of years, the straight track form at Ascot has been quite high to the fore, notably the Victoria Cup, which was obviously won this year by Speculative Bid. Horses that ran in the Lincoln or the Whitson Cup are also bring solid form to the table, and traditionally drawn in the highest or the sixth lowest stalls has also been quite an advantage. And despite recent years, and this race is changing, some of the stats, I think the first four in the market traditionally have a particularly good record in this race, but you look at the last couple of years, 20-1 and 33-1, the shape of this race is changing because the top weight's 111 and the bottom weight this year is 97 officially rated. That is unbelievably tight for a handicap. Gone are the days when you could get in this race off 90 or even the low 80s. But anyway, let's go through them then. We're not going to mention all of them because we haven't got all day, obviously. But AR won that race at Newbury, which is traditionally quite a good trial race for this race. He had quite a few of them behind him on that occasion. So he goes into the positive list as well for Luca Cumani and Frankie Dettori. Actually, Luca Cumani's had quite a few hot pots beaten in this race, just looking through the stats in recent years. But this horse is very much respected. GM Hopkins won the consolation race for the Cambridgeshire last year. He ran in the Lincoln on his seasonal return and then finished second in one of the traditionally good trial races for this race at Newbury, where he actually finished behind Spark Plug. There's quite a big swing around in the weight. Spark Plug winning that race by a neck from GM Hopkins. You know, Spark Plug's only a four-year-old. There's probably a little bit more to come from him. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. He's drawn in stall 12, so, but he's making the shortlist. As to his speculative bid, who won the Victoria Cup again, had a few of these behind him on that occasion. Don't Be is one of those ones at a biggish price that I want to mention. He's been on a bit of a roll of late. He's drawn quite high as well. Be interesting to see, just looking at this sort of pace map, where the pace might come from here. This looks like it's actually a fairly even spread. Don't Be actually ran in a group race at Epsom just a few weeks ago. Don't think he really handled the track. We should also mention Field of Dream, last year's winner, who has only been seen once since. It'd be an unbelievable training performance, but he loves these big field races. So he has to really be respected. But I'm going to take a real flyer on one here at a big price. And the horse in question is Serious Prospect, who has been running in better races than this. He's got form here at the track in these type of races. He finished fourth in one of the races here that was over 7 furlongs behind Intransigent, one of the big field sort of handicaps towards the back end of last year. He actually ran in the Wokingham last year. He finished eighth in the Wokingham. They've now finally decided to step him up in Trip, which I think is quite interesting. He's got form in Maidan this year, and albeit some of it was on the dirt. In fact, quite a lot of it was on the dirt, but I actually called him when he finished just in behind Dark Emerald over 7 furlongs on the turf. He finished third in the Doncaster Mile behind Tullius, wasn't beaten that far. And then he finished fourth at Windsor when he didn't get the clearest of runs through in a listed contest there. I get the impression he's rather been saved for this race. He likes quick ground. And we should also mention that his yard is in fantastic form at the moment. Dean Ivory has been banging in the winners left, right and centre. He certainly is one of the more exposed runners in the lineup, but he's certainly one of the classier runners as well. He could have 8 or 9 goes and not pick the winner, if I'm being perfectly honest, couldn't you? But I don't think he should be quite such a big price. He might even be napped tomorrow. Worrying times ahead. But he, as I say, there's plenty that make the shortlist. You could have 8 or 9 goes and not get anything in the frame. So I want to be backing something at a decent price. I think the shape of this race is beginning to change. So I'll go for Serious Prospect in the Royal Hunt Cup.
Okay, big price one for Gary Lellin. Serious Prospect, 33-1 on the William Hill website at the moment. Let's just have a quick summary, Gary, if you'll spin us through your selections for day two of Royal Ascot one more time.
Of course. In the Queen Mary, Bishara sends to fit all the main trends. In the 340, the Duke of Cambridge Stakes, ditto for Integral, who's I think will win the race for the second year on the spin. In the Prince of Wales Stakes, I'm going to go with 3 Eagle to make a winning seasonal return. And then the Royal Hunt Cup, get the pin out. Plenty of them like it here. Plenty of like these type of races. I'm going to take a chance on a big price with Serious Prospect.
Superb. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy day two.
Will do.
There you go. The thoughts of Gary Capewell on day two of Royal Ascot. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi and Craig Forsyth will be live in the studio. We'll also hear from Jim McGrath and AP McCoy. And Ken Peterson will be joining us from the paddock as well. Plenty to look forward to there. We've also got Hamilton and Uttoxeter in the afternoon, Chelmsford and Ripon in the evening, and there's Irish Racing over the obstacles at Wexford as well. So do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy day two of Royal Ascot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.